It is Thursday, April 24th, 2008. This is Leanne Diakoff interviewing Noreen Joyce Ruse, wife of Eugene Ruse, who was previously recorded. We are at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and we are going to talk with Ms. Ruse about her history, her early history, up to her marriage and early marital years with Gene while he was training and serving as a pilot in the U.S. Navy during World War II. And we're going to call her Joyce because she goes by Joyce.
Do that.
So, Joyce, tell me a little bit. Tell me when you were born and where you were born.
I was born, my family is in a little tiny town in central Illinois. But I was born in the hospital in Pontiac, Illinois, in 1923, April 17th.
And tell me a little bit about your parents.
Well, I was brought up on a farm, although my father never farmed it. He never liked to farm. So he went to the University of Illinois, and then while he was there, his father died, and he had to come home and run the farm. But we always had tenant farmers who lived in a small house nearby, and my father actually, I can barely remember him ever farming. He was a postmaster in that little town most of his adult life. But we lived on, I lived on the farm, about a mile and a half from that little town.
And that was his family farm that he grew
yes,
up on?
Yes, yeah. Been there forever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what about your mother?
My mother had been a school teacher. She was from a little town not far from there. And they met because my father's sister and my mother were good friends when they were in this teacher's college that they went to. Mm-hmm. So that's how they met. And then, she was an intelligent woman, very intelligent woman, mm-hmm. and very artistic, painted quite a bit, and she just wasn't your common farmer's wife as a general rule. She's been just an inveterate reader and writer, and she was very talented. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any brothers or sisters?
I had an older sister who died when she was 43, I think, of cancer. And I had a younger brother who was 5 years younger than I. He's my only family member left. And he still lives on the family farm up in Illinois. He doesn't farm it, but he lives there.
Yeah. I'm seeing a trend here.
Yeah, everybody wanted to get away. But and my older sister went to Rockford College, where I went. She graduated the year before I started, so I just followed her. Mm-hmm. And she was talented too, very, very musical, good voice, played the piano very well. She married her childhood sweetheart. They went all through high school together, and after they were through college, well, they got married, and he's the one who was overseas and had such fascinating experiences in World War II.
Well, describe for me a little bit about your childhood, the town where you grew up, and tell me a little bit about your early education there.
Well, I did not go to a country school like most people did. We went to the school in town, which was, a small school, but a good school and a good high school, a mile and a half or so from my hometown, from my home. And I just grew up in the country and loved being out in the country and had a bike and went everywhere and had friends that I went to school with, and it was just a happy, busy childhood living out in the country. Rode horseback some, not a whole lot. We had ponies, but it wasn't one of my favorite occupations. Mm-hmm. Just had neighbor kids to play with and just a very down-to-earth kind of childhood. Mm-hmm.
And when you graduated from high school, where did you decide to go?
I went to Rockford College, which was a women's college in Rockford, Illinois. My sister had just graduated from there. And actually, it was a couple of spinster aunts, or great aunts in Chicago, who were quite comfortably off. And they, when my sister was ready to go to college, she was just going to go to a little teacher's college or something, and they didn't want her to do that. So they helped with her education, and so she went to Rockford College, and then after she went, it was just almost accepted that that's where I would go, and I was very happy there.
And did you have a set plan of study, or?
Well, I majored in psychology, minored in English, did nothing with either one of them, really. Well, I did. I worked, actually, when my husband was at the University of Wisconsin after the war and we were living in Madison, I worked for the university in the Veterans Guidance Center for a couple of years, doing vocational and guidance testing mm-hmm. with my psych major.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how you met your husband.
Well, it's kind of funny because he is from Rockford, Illinois, where I went to college. And he had left, he was in college in Ohio, but he had left school at the end of the semester because he'd enlisted in the Navy and he knew he was going to be called, so he just came back home and he was just bumming around town. And being a women's college, we just dated men from town. There weren't any men on our campus. And somehow, I don't know, but anyway, some way he had a date with my college roommate. She was from Casper, Wyoming, just a character, loved Anne. But anyway, one night, she had grandparents who lived in another town, and she'd gone to spend the weekend with them, and she didn't come back. So she called me and told me that, you know, she had a date with Gene, and when he called her for her at the dorm, would I go down and tell him? So he called for her when he got there, and I went down to tell him she, you know, that she wasn't back in town. And he said, well, was I doing anything? And I said, no. So off we went. Well, that was the beginning of that.
So that was a very spontaneous first date.
Very spontaneous, yeah.
Well, what did you guys do?
Well, I don't know. I suppose we went down to Joe's South Main Tavern, where everybody went when I was in college. That's about all we did. And we didn't date very long, because then he left, and he was gone for a couple of years. Then he came back. That was my sophomore year. And then he came back in my senior year, and that's because we really didn't date very long. Mm-hmm. A matter of weeks, probably. But then when he came back to Rockford after when I was a senior, then we got back together again then, and I left college in the middle of my senior year to get married. Mm-hmm. And finally we both got through school eventually. I went back and finished my last semester while he worked, and then I worked at for the University of Wisconsin while he finished his last couple of years. So it took us a while, but we got it done.
Well, between your sophomore year and your senior year, while he was away, did you all keep in touch through letters or?
Not a whole lot. In fact, I was kind of surprised when he called after he got back and said he was back in town. And I said to my roommate, oh my heavens, Gene's back in town. And I was kind of busy, but anyway, that's how it worked out.
So this wasn't like a committed long-distance relationship or anything?
No, it wasn't.
So did you date while he was between sophomore and senior year? Mm-hmm. Anything serious?
Not really, probably. Yeah. See, Rockford had Camp Grant, which is an Army base right outside the city of Rockford. And so, generally speaking, that was who a lot of the girls dated. Because they'd have dances at Camp Grant, and they'd take a bunch of us girls out there to dance, and we'd have dances, and a bunch would come over from Camp Grant, so that was kind of our social life at the time during the war. Of course, those guys didn't stay very long at Camp Grant. They were there, and off they went. But that was, you know, there were a lot of dates between Camp Grant soldiers and Rockford College girls. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you told me before we started recording the interview that the World War II broke out when you were about 3 months into your studies. Tell me a little bit about your, before the war broke out, what school was like at Rockford College.
Well, it didn't change appreciably, I don't think, being a women's college. Mm-hmm. It's a very good school, excellent school, small, independent, private women's college. And it was kind of an intellectual place because it was just women, you know. There wasn't a whole lot of social life like there are on lots of campuses. Mm-hmm. But and girls from all over. I had roommates from all over the country. It wasn't just very local. My closest roommate friend was from Casper, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of, coming from a small town in Illinois, it was interesting to meet a lot of other kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And my closest friend was from Milwaukee, there were different groups of girls and groups from all over. Mm-hmm. And then when the war started, it was interesting because one of my closest friends, her father was a naval officer out in California. So she was much more into what was going on in the war than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. Because she'd grown up in the service.
Do you remember how you found out that we were at war?
Yes. It was about noon in Rockford, Illinois at the time, and we had just had dinner in the college dining room, and to get to the dining room, we had to go up some stairs to get to our dorm and walk through the gym. And I was walking through the gym, and somebody came running through and said, "Oh, for heaven's sake, you know, the war started. We've been bombed." And, you know, that was just came out of the blue, because none of us were that deep, except my one friend whose father was an officer. None of us were really that deeply involved. I hardly knew where Pearl Harbor was, you know. It was just a different world. Came as a great shock. And we had, of course, no idea how important this was going to be in our lives at that point, because I spent the whole war almost in college.
Do you remember what the mood was?
A little scared, I think, but really not really understanding it quite, I don't think. Didn't realize what an impact it was going to have on our lives. You know, something had happened a long ways away, and here we are in Rockford, Illinois, and, you know, what difference does it make? So didn't realize how it was going to take over our lives for our whole college careers, and it did.
So after that point, how did, you know, over the next 3.5 years, how did it slowly change?
Well, I think people got more serious. Most of the girls that I knew, they had a boyfriend somewhere in the service, you know, we all did, and there was all this worrying about that and writing letters and trying to see him trying to keep up when you weren't together anymore. And it was, you know, most of them had a boyfriend somewhere who was in the service.
Excuse me, I'm going to pause this for 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry there.
That's all right.
We're interrupted by a cell phone tone. So most of the girls had boyfriends in the service, you said, and there was a lot of anxiety and things. So. And when you met Gene, you knew he was getting ready to enlist.
Yes.
Or I guess had enlisted and was just waiting to go. And was that ever a concern or a subject of your conversations?
Oh, not really, because it was such a short time. You know, it wasn't like we'd gone together for months and months, because we hadn't. It was just, you know, everybody went and he went too. That's about the way it was then.
What about your roommate, Anne? How did she feel about you stealing her date?
Well, they'd only dated a couple of times, and Anne was such a free spirit, I don't think it really bothered her a bit. She came back, and we roomed together for 2 years, and then she went back to, where'd she go? Northwestern, finished her education there, although she was from Casper, Wyoming. Real crazy girl. I said, when she came in, the first time I'd met her, she came in, and she had spurs in her hand and hung them on the corner of her desk chair, and I thought, good heavens, this is Casper, Wyoming. But she was a dear, dear girl. Loved
Anne. Spurs. Did she bring her horse or something?
No, she didn't. She had grandparents that lived in another little town, so, you know, she was fairly familiar with the area, although she was from Wyoming, and that's when she went home, she went back to Casper.
Well, tell me about your senior year when Jean called. Okay. Again, sorry about that.
That's all right.
I think we have solved the problem now. So, senior year, and Jean calls you up.
Yeah. So, we went out several times, you know, maybe a period of 3 weeks or so. Decided to get married, and...
When did you decide this was serious?
Well,
when did you realize this was serious? I don't think you decided.
No, when he came back, I guess we'd known each other fairly well, but this was wartime. Everybody got serious. It had been, yeah. So we just decided to get married, and off we went.
Well, who suggested that?
Oh, I suppose he did. I also think I proposed to him. I think he said, "What are we going to do about us?" As a matter of fact, I think those were his very words. So
he wasn't back for very long when you all made this decision. What thoughts went through your mind? I mean, you were in the middle of school, in the middle of your last year.
Yeah, it was an interesting decision to make. But you know, you just do it. It wasn't any doubt in my mind that this was what we were going to do, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked out. But it seemed like it took us forever. By the time I finished school and he finished school, you know, we just plugged along for about 3 years before we got our feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. But those were good years.
Well, when you decided to leave school and marry Jean, I read your wedding announcement. It sounds like you went down to Florida with him. Mm-hmm.
He was already there. I just flew down and met him down there.
Yeah. What did your family think about that? That they, you know, you were going off to get married? Your
to
mom
somebody that they didn't know? They met him, but that was all. Well, I don't recall that there was any problem with it. I just did those things that time. So, you know, they knew him slightly, but not real well. And he'd never been to my home. They'd been to Rockford and met him and knew about him, but he didn't know them hardly at all. Mm-hmm. He knew my sister, but he didn't know them, because she lived in Rockford after she graduated from college. She worked there in the city, so he knew her, but mm-hmm. he didn't know my parents at all.
So nobody insisted that you have a wedding at home and maybe stay at home while he finished his training?
I don't know. Just, you know, right after the war, things just, you just did things that you wouldn't do in this day and time, probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about your trip to Florida. Did your sister go with you?
Is that No, I just went by myself.
Okay. Who was your, who stood up with you?
Well, see, Gene had Navy friends, and he had a married couple, and Dorothy, and she stood up with me. I'd never met one, didn't know one soul at the wedding, you know, but it was just a little wedding in the chapel at the Naval Base, so it was a very, very simple little wedding. But that wasn't unusual in those times. That's the way we lived.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you flew down, and mm-hmm. Jean picked you up, and mm-hmm. off to the chapel?
Well, off to the chapel. That's just about right. Yeah. But he had good Navy friends, and they'd been stationed together several places, so, you know, I felt like they were my family almost, his Navy friends. Mm-hmm. And several of them were married, so, you know, they had wives. And so, yeah, we had some good years together in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about the wedding at the chapel.
Well, it was very small. As I said, I didn't know anybody there. The girl that stood up with me was the wife of one of Jean's friends. And the fellow that stood up with him was not married, but he was a good friend. And it was just a handful, you know, just a handful of people. Mm-hmm. But this was not unusual. These were different times, mm-hmm. different times.
And then after the service, did you?
Well, we honeymooned in Daytona Beach. And that was, of course, I'd never been there before, and this was a whole new world. And
had you ever been to the beach?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, with my parents, we used to go down to that, not to Daytona, but my parents had a little house down in Dania, Florida for many years, and so I'd been there mm-hmm. many times.
Mm-hmm. And after the honeymoon, now that you were married, what did the Navy give you housing, or did some kind of allowance?
I'm trying to think where we went first. We lived in Hutchinson, Kansas. We lived in there was a lady there who, and people did this all over the country, then who just rented out rooms to service people. So we just lived in one room in a lady's house, and her husband was overseas somewhere, and she had a couple of teenage children. And, you know, nice lady in Hutchinson, Kansas, you know, just the middle of middle America, just very solid kind of place. Mm-hmm. And so we lived in Hutchinson. We lived on Miami Beach. We lived in San Diego. Where else do we live? That must be about it, I guess. Yeah, because we were in San Diego then when the war ended, and then I came on back.
So the Navy gave you an allowance to rent these rooms, or?
I can't remember how that worked. It must have. I really don't remember. I don't remember how that worked.
And what did you do while Jean was off training?
Other Navy wives and I just puttered around, did nothing, mm-hmm. sunbathed and loafed and had a good time. Didn't do anything worthwhile, no.
I guess you weren't anywhere long enough to find some kind of job anything like that.
No, didn't do any of that.
Well, what about in, I would say in your downtime, but you had a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
What about in Jean's downtime? What did you all do?
Well, I don't know that what he did much then. We didn't seem like, I can't remember that we had an awful lot of free time. Of course, we had Navy friends and their wives, and we, you know, got together with them a lot, pretty much. But I don't think he had any particular hobbies or anything like that. Because he used to play a lot of, he played a lot of golf. I don't recall that he played golf then. He didn't play golf until we got back home. But I don't know what we did with our time, frankly. It's been a long time ago.
Well, tell me about some of your Navy friends. Have any of those become lifelong friends?
Yes, we're losing them. Yeah. Yes, they have. And we saw one of them on a recent trip when we were out west, and we came back and stopped in, where was it? Not Denver, someplace out there where one of them is still living. Mm-hmm. And he had lost his wife. But we did meet him and had a meal with him, and that was, you know, after all those years, it was unbelievable to get together again. Mm-hmm. But I think that's about the only one that we've really been able to keep up with to any great extent. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But he was a great guy. But there are not many of them left anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of your fondest memories of this? Gene, in his interview, referred to this year that you all were married and he was in training as a year-long honeymoon.
That's what my parents called it. That's what my mother said when we got home. She said, well, you've had a year-long honeymoon, because we lived all over the country, you know, and had you know, met interesting people and were in interesting places, and something we wouldn't have done on our own ever.
Yeah. Well, what were some of your fondest memories of that time?
Well, I don't know, just the excitement of being in all these different places. You know, here I was, a little farm girl from central Illinois, and we were just all over, and it seemed like a very sophisticated life we were living all of a sudden, and meeting people from all over and having friends from all over, and it was so different. Mm-hmm. But, enjoyable, like those years. In fact, I was kind of surprised that Gene had really thought he would stay in the Navy, and then... As I went on home to finish school, and he called one night and he said, well, I'm getting out. I said, good heavens, you know, what are we going to do? So he decided to, you know, to get out. He could have stayed in and debated about it, but decided no, not to.
Well, as the war was going on and Gene was, you know, training for his job as a pilot, did you ever have any anxiety or any worries about, you know, where this was going?
Well... We probably did, but I don't know. It was just, you know, we lived just like everybody else was living like that. This was a whole, you know, it was just the war. Mm-hmm. And it was just the way we lived then. Of course, you were mostly concerned about when they would have to go overseas. That was the main concern. Of course, then for him, that never happened. He's sitting in San Diego waiting to go, and the war was over. Mm-hmm. So, but that was the main concern for most of us was, you know, what are we going to do after they leave, and we've got to go home and have some life left.
Mm-hmm. And I believe San Diego is where he ended his training, is that correct? Mm-hmm. And if I'm recalling correctly from his interview, he ended his training and had a couple of days off and then was going to be shipped out.
Yeah.
Do you remember that time, that a couple of days waiting for his...
No. No. I had just gone home and just assumed that he was going to go, and then all of a sudden I get this phone call, and he's, you know, he's getting out of the Navy and he's coming home. Mm-hmm. So everything kind of changed in a hurry.
Do you remember when the war ended?
Oh yeah, we were in San Diego. Uh-huh. I remember. And we went out in the street, and of course there was just millions of people, and a lot of young servicemen, because they were stationed around there, and they were running down the street and banging on windows and shouting, and you know, it was just, we just went downtown San Diego the night the war ended, and that was, you know, just a whole fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. To have been there at that time. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a feeling of relief or just
well Yes, we did, but it was just so different. You know, we lived so differently, and all of a sudden, the whole world had changed. Mm-hmm. And but it at the time, it didn't look like it was going to make a whole lot of difference because he was going to stay in the Navy at that point anyway, and it wasn't going to really affect us that as it turned out to do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. When did you decide to go home?
Well, it must have been when the next semester was to start. I can't remember exactly. That's about right, because that would have been August. And so I went on home and was going to go back to school for my last semester, mm-hmm. which I did. And then, then he came home and worked for a while I finished that one semester. And then we went up to Madison, and he went back to school, and I worked.
Well, how was that adjustment from traveling all over the country as a married couple to now studying?
Yeah,
well, and he's working. Yeah. And
well, it was kind of different, but I only had one semester. I could deal with that, you know.
Yeah.
But our years in Madison, they were fun years. Mm-hmm. Of course, most of the people we knew were other couples that were in the same boat we were. They'd been in the service, our closest friends. He'd been a Marine officer, and they lived next door to us in this building that we lived in, and we got to be, good friends because they were all in the same boat. They'd mm-hmm. all, been in the service and come back, and were going back to school. Mm-hmm. And we wives, generally speaking, were working at the time, so it was, but we had good friends that we met there.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your job in Madison. You said you worked in the psychology.
Yeah, it was the Veterans Guidance Center was called, mm-hmm. and it's where they had to come and have all these tests and everything so that they could be accepted at the university. And so I did the testing, gave the tests and the interviews and all that kind of stuff. Because mm-hmm. they had to go through that as part of their entrance into University of Wisconsin.
There were quite a number of veterans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was this a department that was set up specifically to...
I think it probably was. Mm-hmm. It was not on campus. It was in a, just a downtown office building. So it was not a permanent campus thing, I assumed. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how long it had been there, whether it probably isn't there anymore, I wouldn't think. I wouldn't think there'd be any need for it.
And how long were you in Madison?
A couple of years. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Gene? Did Gene stay in the reserves during this time?
He did for a while, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But not permanently. Yeah, he was in, in fact, because they went to Great Lakes a time or two, I think, after we were back in Rockford. He went back for some training or whatever, but he didn't stay in very long, huh? Mm-hmm.
So during his time in the reserves, did that impact your...
No, uh-uh. He'd go into Chicago once in a while for something that we were at Rockford, that was no big deal.
Yeah.
To go to Chicago for some training and meetings, Naval Air Station there.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start a family?
Oh, goodness. 1940. It's funny. We were married in 40. Daughter was born in 49 and my son in 51.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd been married 6 years or so before we had children.
And this was after everyone had finished their schooling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where were you when you started your family?
We were back in Rockford, Illinois, in his hometown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when did you move to Kentucky?
54, I think. Yeah, 54. Uh-huh.
So the kids were still quite young.
Yeah, they were toddlers, really. Mm-hmm. I think our daughter started kindergarten here when we came, and our son was a couple years younger. Mm-hmm. So they've been here since they were, kids.
And what brought you all from Rockford to?
Well, a job. Actually, he started out as a salesman for this company, and then took it over as an independent rep, mm-hmm. in a short time. So he was an independent representative, mm-hmm. practically all of his career.
Mm-hmm. And I guess because of your experience with moving around, mm-hmm. during that first year of marriage, this was not a big jump
we looked forward to it. He'd been here, of course, and looked around before I did, but no, it wasn't. Wasn't that traumatic, really, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just another move, another place to start. Mm-hmm. I did have a cousin who lived here, still lives here, as a matter of fact, so I had a little familiarity with city, you know, somebody to call on the phone and yeah. But no, it was just exciting and interesting, and we were glad to. I said, "You'll never get me north the Ohio River again. I lived in that snow long enough."
That's true. I guess you all do have a lot more.
Oh yeah, snow. a lot of snow. Wisconsin had a lot of snow, and Rockford, Illinois did it. You know, that's just right up on the Wisconsin border. It's 15 miles from Wisconsin, so it's way up there. So, yeah, we were used to cold winters, long winters. So this was an interesting place to move to.
Mm-hmm. Well, thinking back to, I guess, the war years and your early marriage, what kind of impact do you think that shaped your worldview? I guess, you know, kind of like a life lesson from that period that you took with you through the rest of your life.
Well, I guess the idea that there's such a big world out there. When you came from this little town in the center of Illinois, you know, your horizons were very small. Mm-hmm. But having gone through that, I just, you know, it was just much more interesting. There was a much more interesting world out there that I had never had a chance to be a part of when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Not specifically for this interview, mm-hmm. but just...
Well, No. We've thoroughly enjoyed living in Louisville. Glad we're here. Wouldn't want, as I said, you'll never get me north the Ohio River again. But, you know, it's a nice city to live in, and our kids grew up here. And of course, our daughter lives in Iowa now, but she's moving to North Carolina, so, and our son lives here in town. So, you know, we've been blessed, got nice grandchildren. And it's funny because one of my granddaughters was born on my birthday, so we just shared a birthday just last week.
That's right, on April 17th.
April 17th, yeah. So she lives in outside of Washington, D.C., but she was here, and my daughter came from Iowa, and so we had the weekend. It wasn't a real birthday, but it was pretty close.
Yeah.
My daughter's husband had already moved to North Carolina, so he wasn't here, but so we had a nice get together, because I don't see that granddaughter from Washington, D.C. very often. Years go by.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a career gal and loves it and works right outside of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. How many other grandchildren do you have?
Two.
Yeah. Two.
Uh-huh. Our son David here has Emily, who's a junior down at Western Kentucky, mm-hmm. and Mary is 14. Uh-huh.
So all girls?
No, just one boy. David.
Oh, David, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
So, okay. Uh-huh. Well, I will end this interview here. Thank you for speaking with us here.